Hey Gamecocks, this episode is brought to you by Tailgate State. These guys deliver unique designs with fans in mind that you simply cannot find anywhere else. Tailgate State offers polos, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more with new designs dropping weekly. The best part is that for every item purchased, Tailgate State donates $1 to the corresponding school's NIL collective so you can get involved with the NIL movement, all while looking great. Get ready for game day the best way. Just go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 144 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Tailgate State. Go to tailgatestateandco.com, use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. I am your host, Tim Cox, and are we ready, Gamecock Nation? This feels like it is a weekend of all weekends. Just the moment is upon us for Carolina fans. So much action. The whole entire buildup of March has come to a head, and we are here this whole week. I've been working for the weekend. I'm sure y'all are the same. This is it. This is why we do it. I'm so excited to be speaking with y'all, putting my voice out there on the airwaves, and getting us all ready for what is sure to be an action packed couple of days in Gamecock country. So let's look back at this week in review before I jump into baseball and women's basketball. Have a couple of pieces of news here. First is from the football team. Edge rusher Jordan Strawn was granted another year of eligibility and will play for Carolina this season. This is a relief. I mean, I don't think this is anything too surprising, but knowing the NCAA and how they've just perpetually been moving at a snail's pace when it comes to this type of stuff for South Carolina, this was welcomed news. In case you forgot, Jordan tore his ACL at the Arkansas game, so just the second game of the season last year, was set to have a big season at that position for us. So he was granted another year. I think he's now coming back for like his seventh year of college football, just 7 years of college. Jordan Strawn is literally living my dream. But this is a huge piece for us. South Carolina is very thin at the edge position, not a lot of experience on the roster right now. So word is he is progressing nicely from his injury. His rehab is going well. And although he's not, you know, contact right now, probably won't have any contact through the summer and whatnot, by fall camp and by the start of the season, the hope is that he will be good to go. And that is really how things are progressing there. So good news there. And then from the basketball team, the men's team, I should specify, Lamont Paris going to work and picking up a commitment from grad transfer point guard Talon Cooper, coming from the University of Minnesota. Now, Talon is actually originally from South Carolina, so he's coming back home. Lamont Paris was able to beat out a couple of big-time programs for his commitment. He averaged 6.8 assists last year and about 10 points as well, but those 6.8 assists per game was seventh best in the whole country. So Lamont is getting a true distributor, a true point guard to lead his offense next year. I think that opens things up very well for Michi Johnson to play more of that two shooting guard type of deal. So that is a big time pickup. Now, looking as far as scores to report, there really was not a whole lot of action during the week outside of the major sports. Tuesday, softball lost to the upstate team. We're just not even going to talk about that. And then men's golf finished tied for eighth in the Hootie at Bulls Bay tournament. So, fun name for a tournament. Guys tied for eighth, not that bad. And that brings us all up to speed, which will bring me to the baseball team. Now, I do have a bit of sad news on the baseball front. I do apologize for not bringing this up last episode, but Will McGillis is going to be sidelined for about a month and change even. He broke his arm after being hit by a pitch in the Mizzou series. So really, really unfortunate for him and for this team. He was having a very fine season and playing a good second base as well. So huge blow for the Gamecocks, but hopefully Will recovers fully and quickly and then can come back bigger, faster, stronger than ever in an ideal scenario. So wishing him nothing but the best and a speedy recovery. Now, the team was in action on Tuesday night as part of their midweek game. This was against the Citadel, and the Gamecocks beat the Citadel 13-2 in 7 innings. That feels nice to say. Mark Kingston had a quote after the game that, you know, after how the team performed in Charlotte, he said that the team needed to play great baseball in the midweek game. And he told them to just maintain that level of excellence, basically. And boy, did Carolina deliver. Did they ever? I mean, really, the Gamecocks are now tied for the best start in program history after starting 24-2. I mean, I know we're having a good season. I know damn well when we have lost because I talk about it. But just to write it down, 24-2 is incredibly, incredibly impressive. And as far as this game is concerned, that win was delivered with a huge thanks to a 7-run sixth inning. Carolina had a couple of big innings outside of that as well, but just very steady and explosive offense. After initially losing the lead, Carolina was down 1-0 very early in this game, and it was no problem for the Gamecocks. They bounced right back. Sam Simpson opened the game pitching the first inning, and Zach Zadilis, sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong, he got the win. And all told, South Carolina used 7 pitchers and only gave up 4 hits. And this was big that Carolina was able to get quality innings, inning here, inning there, out of some of these guys like a Simpson and Zach, because I'm going to get to it in a second, but just with how this next series shapes up and the scheduling, you did not want to have to throw any premier arms, at least for too long, in this game with a short rest now here. Now, some player highlights for y'all from this game. Braylon Wimmer went 2-for-4 with 2 RBI. Caleb Denny went 1-for-2 with 2 RBI. And Evan Stone, nice night with 2-for-4 with 2 RBI. So you've seen Evan Stone pick it up a little bit here and there. And if his offense can get back to where you were hoping it could be, that is great, great news for the Gamecocks, especially after the McGillis news. Now, of note, speaking of that, Will Tippett played at second base in place of McGillis. So it's going to be interesting to see if Kingston sticks with him or if he shakes it up until something sticks, really more so on the offensive side. Can he find someone to move to second base and perform well? Maybe you mix it around and have guys who have played second in the past and move them around. Michael Braswell is on your bench, right? He did not see the action in this game. I would like to see him more, and maybe you can mess it around because he is used to being on the left side of the infield. So going to be very interesting to see how Kingston plays this. Now, up next, or more so currently for the Gamecocks, is their series against Mississippi State. And I say that because this is one of three series that Carolina will play that starts on a Thursday. So this game is being played as I'm recording right now. So the first game, that is. So as I did during this scenario when the game was being played during my recording in basketball season, we're just going to send good vibes, right? I'm sending good vibes for the boys to get that first game series W. I'm just really trying to, you know, avoid any announcer jinx here. But news of this series really broke before the first pitch even happened, in that the starting rotation was changed up. You would have had Eli Jones in the first game, Noah Hall in the second, and then Jack Mahoney in the third. So most notably, no Will Sanders. And this is interesting, right? He's not hurt. It's a healthy scratch. He is available out of the bullpen, but I think this is more of a reset for the young man. Just, you are our ace. You've performed very well at Carolina, but this year, I don't think it's out of line to say he has struggled with his command. And his stuff is so good that he's able to get out of jams, but he's struggling with his command. So it's a good time to get a reset on what is short rest for him. Normally he goes Friday to Friday. So he's on short rest. You give him the week off. Let him reset a little bit before you get too deep into SEC play. I would imagine he gets back on the bump next SEC series. Maybe you even see him throw an inning in the midweek this upcoming week, but no need to worry. I think it's just give him a minute, let him reset a little bit, and hope he kind of figures whatever is going on out right now. But going into this series, Mississippi State was last in the SEC West and has really struggled against SEC opponents, having not won a game against them before playing South Carolina. And just as I say that now, I'm just really hoping I do not have the announcer or podcaster curse. So really sending the good vibes, guys. Please, please get the W. But my crow to the series here, and I guess I should say my crow to the Friday and Saturday games, is just hit well with runners in scoring position. Mississippi State has a few pitchers with very inflated ERAs and have clearly struggled a lot this year in a few areas. So I'd like to see Carolina get deep into the Bulldogs' bullpen by keeping innings alive, singles and doubles, driving guys in, and just having very productive innings and taking advantage of what is, to this point in the season, a struggling Mississippi State squad. So let's go, boys. Which brings me to the team of the hour, the week, and the month for USC, and that is our women's basketball team. I'm so excited. On Monday, the ladies defeated Maryland 86-75 to return to the Final Four yet again, a third consecutive Final Four for Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks, and this historic season, undefeated season, continues to roll on. And, you know, there's only been a very short list of teams that have gotten this far with the type of record that Carolina has. There's a very short list of teams that have the win streak that Carolina is currently on, dating back to last season. It is incredibly impressive what Dawn Staley is doing this year, what she did last year, what she's done over the last however many years at South Carolina. And it's so much fun to watch. And the atmosphere in Greenville for these last couple of rounds was just absolutely amazing. The fans showed up in a huge way. I was watching the game and I was just like, this is a home game. This is a home game. And I already know the fans are going to show up in full force in the Final Four. Now, looking at this game real quick, it started tight. Maryland actually had the lead 21-15 after the first quarter. They played us a little differently than we've seen. It was full court press from the jump, pretty much the whole game, and that threw us off a little bit, slowed down the offensive attack, and then when Maryland was on offense, they were really spreading out the defense of South Carolina, making sure players like Boston and Saxton were not in the paint, which allowed them to drive and get a couple of layups and things like that, which is fine, you know, and it, I think if I'm going to play Galaxy Brain with it, I think it's good that Don saw it now as opposed to in the Final Four, because now she can prepare for it and she can say, okay, they played us like this and they got us for the first quarter. How are we going to defend against this if we see it again? On the opposite side, though, you know, yes, they got some easier buckets in the first quarter. There were some weird calls, no calls. The officiating was very inconsistent all day. But if they missed a shot, we were right there for the rebound. And we were able to create turnovers because they were passing and, like, having trouble moving around screens and things like that. So while it did allow them to get occasional easy buckets, overall, defense won out. The ladies settled in and locked down Maryland in the second quarter, holding them to just 9 points. And even though the offense was not flowing its best for us, we were able to go into the half with an 8-point lead. And you could just tell Carolina was more comfortable in that second half. Zaya Cook was attacking and heating up, driving in, looking aggressive, also hit some big-time shots. Same with Cardozo. You did not see a whole lot of her in the first half. I almost felt as though Dawn was saving her for the second half, almost like a secret weapon. You did not see a whole lot of Boston and Cardozo on the floor at the same time. You did a little bit, but not as much as we've seen in the past. So when Zaya got cooking, no pun intended, Cardozo heated up, right? You had Bree Hall hit some big shots. Bree Beal hit some big shots. It was just simply too much, and we ended up looking like our normal selves by the end of the game. Some player highlights here for y'all. Aaliyah Boston, 22 points and 10 rebounds. Bree Beal, 16 points and 7 rebounds. Zaya Cook, 18 points and 8 rebounds. And with that, our Gamecocks were victorious and are now currently in Dallas for the Final Four. Their game is set for Friday in what is sure to be an electric matchup against the number 2 seed Iowa at 9 p.m. Eastern. So a little Friday night action, Final Four, just couldn't ask for anything better. And if you're like me, you are already sick of hearing about freaking Caitlin Clark. But Iowa features, if you haven't heard about her, she features one of the country's top shooters, one of the top scorers in the country in Caitlin Clark. Iowa has one of the best offenses in women's college basketball. So it feels like a matchup of the unstoppable force, and I say that somewhat sarcastically, versus the immovable object in their offense versus our defense. It feels like this game could be a battle of wills that will come down to the end. Should be a very, very good matchup. But I like this matchup because I like how multiple the Gamecocks can be. And I've talked about this where we've seen them win games that are slow, and then we've seen them win games that are fast-paced and shootouts, and we're able to keep up with that. We've seen it all this year. And if South Carolina needs to answer a big shot, like a big three-pointer, we have players that can do that and have proven to. So my crow to the game here, it's an obvious one, slow down Caitlin Clark. But again, I like our chances here because of how versatile we can be and how strong our defense is. Bria Beal is an absolute lockdown defender, and I'd imagine she's going to be on Clark for most of the game. Also, I would not be surprised to see Letitia Amy here go on Clark for a good bit. She's someone who could provide a bit more length and be a different type of challenge for Clark, but she can move so well and keep up with her pace. So there's multiple people, and I could keep going. I mean, I wouldn't mind Zaya Cook going on her. You know, Kira Fletcher, I wouldn't mind it. There's players up and down this roster who I feel can shadow Clark, hang with her, and just make her day difficult. Because, look, she's going to get hers, right? Make no mistake about it. Caitlin Clark is going to score points. She's going to hit some big buckets, maybe in key moments. But the key is, don't let her get in a rhythm, or don't let her be in space too often that she has an uncontested shot. Like, if she ends this game with, let's call it 15 or 20 points, like, that's a good day. But if she was held under 30% from distance, that's a success for South Carolina. Make other players on Iowa beat you. And I mean, frankly, outside of her, there's not really anyone that scares me all that much. I think we match up incredibly well outside of that, especially with our post players. But make no mistake, this is not going to be an easy task. I'd imagine there's also going to be a good amount of Iowa fans there. They take a lot of pride in their women's program as well. And as good as they've been with Caitlin Clark, God, I'm so sick of her. As good as they've been, they haven't really gotten to the Final Four. So they're very excited. I imagine it's going to be them and the fams really taking over this Final Four. But it just feels like, you know, they got their fans and then like the media is rooting against us. Like, all you hear about is how good Iowa is and how good Clark is and this offense, yada yada. That's all I've been hearing. As if we're not the undefeated, like, defending champions. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, fine, like, miss me with that, you know? It's up to Dawn, I trust, right? It's up to her to keep this team focused. She's going to rely on the experience of her players who have been there before. The core of this team has been to either one or two Final Fours already. So yes, there's going to be nerves, but as far as what the travel is like, what your schedule is like, how do you get ready for shoot around and everything like that, we're not scared about it. We've been here, done that. So buckle up. Let's go, ladies. I'm so excited for this. And then I don't want to get too cocky or anything, or, you know, just I want to keep good vibes, right? I don't want to talk about what could potentially lie ahead for South Carolina. I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious. But the final round championship is Sunday afternoon and will feature the winner, obviously, of our game, but also of Virginia Tech and LSU. So fingers crossed, going to be a good day, good weekend. Let's go. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.